Very good. Man, I love to hear men sing. I tell you what. Say what? It's cold up north. We wish we would have taken our long johns. It snowed most every day we were up there, flurries. But then when we left, it really let out. We've met a very nice couple at breakfast on our way back from Michigan. They were from Michigan. At least he was in a hotel Friday morning over breakfast. His wife and mother of the three, just beautiful little girls, ended up being just right down the road from the house there, Princeton, Texas. Can you imagine? Just right down the road, raised right there. And she married a Michigan man who took her from Texas after he moved down here just for 3 years. That's right up there with the unpardonable sin, I think, you know. There's something wrong with that picture. Now, I'd be getting my gun, you know, they are on the way to Grandma's house, and that's good down here in Texas on spring break. And that's always a good thing. That's good. And I had on a very, very warm, highly insulated hoodie that I found on sale at Cabela's outdoor shop there way up north. And I had to have it because we are freezing. I mean freezing. So cold you couldn't even put on your tie outside of your truck. That's cold. And I had to reward points, and so I visited the bargain cave, and bingo, there it was, you know. And man, I said, man, that's warm. I got to have it. I told this couple just over the line from Illinois into Missouri, as I didn't want to spend the night in Illinois. I love liberals, but not that much. So I waited till I crossed over that great Mississippi River and got over into the state of Missouri to get a room. And I told this nice couple about my warm hoodie that I was so excited about. Man, I wore it, and I'll be wearing that one. It's green. You'll see it when it's cold. And I just mentioned in passing, that I had learned some things, you know, while being up north and I'd learned that these Yankees up north really know how to dress warm. Man, I mean, they have warm clothes up north. If you want to buy warmer clothes, go north, young man, go north. Don't go west, go north. Now, I may not notice when my wife gets a new hairdo. I may not notice. Or when someone wears a new dress after a year or so, I may finally pick it up. I have done that before. Or one of our men buys a new shirt. I may not notice any of that, but I did notice his seeming displeasure. He seemed a little bit, just a little bit shocked that I from Texas would use the term Yankee. So I guess I may have to consider using something like eminent northern dwellers. Eminent northern dwellers from now on. I guess he may have misconstrued, Brother Dave, my words to indicate the Civil War is not over, which it's not. Just the shooting stopped. I think I can back that up, by the way. Now, while we were at Cabela's, a huge store, even bigger than one over here in Allen. Of course, that one over by Alliance Airport's even bigger than this one. So if you're driving over that way, be sure to stop by. A lot of beautiful mounts. I mean, just gorgeous, gorgeous place. And while we were there, this store, my wife disappeared, as is pretty common, disappeared, and as is my custom, I usually whistle. Get my wet my whistle. And I was looking into the direction that she disappeared, and the way it's supposed to work is I whistle, and of course she whistles back. And that means I'll meet you halfway. And that way you can find one another, you know? I mean, it works for the birds in the woods, right? So it probably should work out for us okay. Well, a whistle did meet my whistle. And it had the right tune and everything, but it came from the wrong direction. So I looked over in the other direction, and my wife had grown a beard, and she was walking down the way there holding the hands of another woman. I said, "You're not my wife." you Michigan men are not right. And so says all of my men from Ohio. That's what I told him, brothers. That's what I told him. He said, where are you from? And I said, Texas. And he says, sounds like it, with all of the honor he could muster in his voice. Turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're a little tired. 4 days travel and ministry up there for the week. But we had a good and productive time. And by the way, that church and pastor want to thank you for allowing us to come and to try to minister to them, be a blessing. I think we were. The messages were blessed of the Lord. Holy Spirit worked his good work. Dory was a tremendous blessing to the pastor's wife and to Robin. And we had great visits with so many of their members and really connected with members and guests alike. Honestly, I feel that there will be 4 to 5 different families that will be joining in the near future. And that's a lot for that little church. And we're grateful for that and the work that's being done there. And the pastor and I, one day, we made 2 visits in one day. One was with an elder Catholic gentleman. And pastor did a great job. He had just a real open hand, nurturing, pastoral approach. You know, not cramming anything down somebody's throat. You know, just laying it out there and being straightforward and to the truth and to this man. And Brother Ron was raised Catholic, so it helped him really connect to this man. And finally, even the man said, yeah, there's a big difference between what the Catholics and the Baptist folk believe. And I said, well, that's an understatement, but that's true. And so he was making some progress and really connected. Then we visited an elder lady. She was temporarily, Miss Betty, she was good to see you, by the way. And she was temporarily a shut-in who had broken her leg, whose family, now get this, her family in the past had bought 600 acres from the United States government. 600 acres, some of you may know the history, like 600 acres from the United States government. And it was back, I think she said, in the 1830s. Now that's a long time, man. That's a little bit older than anybody here. I said it's a little bit older than anybody here. In the 1830s, and they moved in. And I want you to know, that dear lady, that woman, she knew everybody in the county by name. I mean, she knew everybody. You couldn't name anybody. You couldn't say, where's that house? She'd be able to tell you how long they lived there, what their names were, what the dog's name was. She knew everybody in that county. And she was telling the pastor, I am praying for so-and-so to come join our church. And she'd point down the road, somebody down there. Now, down the road, if you're doing door-to-door in that part of the country, you're going to lose a lot of weight, I'll tell you that. Because those farmhouses are stretched out. I mean, they're stretched out. I told them, you're going to do door-to-door around here, you might want to buy you a moped. Or you're going to have a hard time. Pat and Mike's going to get wore out just a little bit. But she knew everybody in the country, it seemed, by name. And she was telling the pastor, I'm praying for this one, and I think they'd be good prospects. And this other one, you need to go see Mrs. So-and-so. I spoke to her just this morning, and 2 or 3 others just this morning. I spoke to all of them this morning, and I really think they'd enjoy a visit from you. And this one needs to be saved, and that was saved and backslidden, and that one's saved and never been scripturally baptized. I mean, she had the goods, bub. She had the goods. She had her finger on the pulse in that entire county, I tell you. The entire county. Now, I learned that she, her husband, now, of course, passed away, had been seriously engaged in the work of the Lord for decades. And she was serious about the work. She was serious. Serious. And she put her money where her mouth is, and I'll explain that. She worked herself. She was moving around there in that old frame house, a farmhouse, you know, out there, big barn out back, you know. She moved around in her wheelchair scooter. You mean, boy, she's getting good at that thing. You know, be careful, she'll run you over, she'll kill you with that thing. And she worked her way to get over there by the recliner. Then she snaked out a walker and put that beside the recliner. She could make her way out of the scooter into the recliner. And doing all this, and I was wondering, why is she going to all this trouble? You know, she's in the scooter. She wants to get a hold of the walker so she can use the walker to get into the recliner. And then she got into the recliner, and she finally made it there, fiddled around with the papers stacked up, of course, on the little table. You know how it is. They're all stacked up. Just she's plundering through all of that. And fiddling around there beside that chair to get what she went after. That's a good woman. She's getting what she went after. Amen. and went right back to her scooter. I mean, she got just no sooner got in that that recliner that she found what she was looking for, then here's back into the walker, to the walker again, standing up on that old broken leg with plates and pins. And yes, she showed us all the pictures, you know. Not the real thing, but the pictures, you know, the x-rays. Get that straightened out, you know. And so finally she gets back up on the walker and then back over into her little wheelchair scooter. Then she says, come over here, come over here. And I'm sitting on the couch across the little room there, the living room, looking out the bay window, big farmland out back. And she says, come over here, I want to give you something. Come over here. She says, I've been hearing about your preaching. She said, you're doing a fine job, and I want to thank you for that. And she hugged my neck. She hugged my neck, and then shook my hand, and she palmed in my hand. She put two $20 bills in my hand, and she said, I want to give you that. Which, by the way, I later gave to the pastor. And when I sat down, Miss Becca, she told me, she said, you smell good. I kind of like that, you know. She said, you smell good. After we left, I went back over there, said, here, have another whiff, you know. I tell you, she did. That's the honest truth. That's what happened. Now, she didn't need to give me a gift. Yeah, she didn't need to do that, but she didn't want to be left out. She didn't want to be left out of what God was doing in her church. No, sir. She didn't want anything to do with that. Now, she may be old. She may be crippled up. She may be bound to a scooter to boot. She may only have 100 of those 600 acres back because people die and then they have to split. People, you know, some of you know about that. They split up the acreage of the old place, and all she had was 100 acres left, and kind of said that with sadness in her voice. You know, I'm sure, you know, if you went from 600 to 100, you know, you'd probably have some sadness, but she still wanted to be a part of God's work. I tell you, and that's the very spirit we find in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And that's where I want you to turn. I say, God increase her tribe. Amen. I wish to God we'd all find inspiration in such people like that. You say, well, she's an old lady. Well, she may be old. She's not done. She's not done. And I thank God for people like that. You know, just keep kicking. Just keep kicking. Whatever you have left, whatever good graces God gives you, use that time on earth to do something for God. That's what I'm saying. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I'm sticking to it. Well, we're going to pick up in verse 12 of chapter 17. Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. I like that name, as Sherry and James certainly do. And he had eight sons, eight boys. And a man went among them for an old man in the days of Saul. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the three sons that went to the battle were Eliab and the firstborn, and next to him is Abinadab, and the third Shema. And David was the youngest, so he was the baby of the family, the boys, you know. And the three eldest followed Saul, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So he's a Bethlehem boy. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. He's been popping off at the mouth. 40 days, that's a long time. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. I like that. Don't just walk, boy. You got something to do. Run. Go do it. Amen. I just like it. I like it. And carry these 10 cheeses. I like cheese too. I like a running man, and I like man who runs with food. That's good. And especially if it's cheese, especially the good kind of cheese. Good cheeses. 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand. And he looked how thy brethren fare and took their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. Not much has changed. I said not much has changed. And David arose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse, that's his dad, had commanded him. That's a good son. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. That's a good young man. Shouted for the battle. If you're not going to be in the fight, at least shout amen. Somebody else has urged you along in that battle. Right? I said right? I said right? All right. Get on with it. What verse am I in? 21. All right. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army, came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. He looks like that too. Out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words, and David heard it. He heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him. They were scarier than a jackrabbit. Fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Well, how could you miss him? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter. Ugly, she must have been pretty. Probably not ugly, or who would want her? And make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now that's a good question. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard that he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, his baby brother, and said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep? Oh, you're just a little shepherd boy taking care of a few little sheep in the wilderness. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Oh, he didn't know half of it. He had misjudged his little brother and the fire in his little brother's belly. He had misjudged the young lad. And David said, what have I now done? Then the big question. Is there not a cause? Right there's the title of the sermon. Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. So David comes across this scene with the enemies, the armies, of course, staring at one another down, the Philistines and the army of Israel facing one another down, And they have some little scrimmages going on. And this thing's been going on for 40 days of this loudmouth giant. And he was a giant of a man. I mean, he's right up there bigger than Shaq. All right? He's a giant of a man. And he comes out and he's challenging. Who will come out and fight with me? Who will come out and fight with me and saying ugly things about the God of Israel and Israel? Saying ugly things. Big loudmouth overgrown Philistine. Now he found out, David found out, well, hardly anything's being done. Really, nothing's being done. Now most people in this world think there are three choices to matters. Three choices. The right one, the wrong one, and they believe there's a third option that's available to them. It's not making either of the choices. But not choosing the right choice plus time is by default making the wrong choice. Let that sink in just a little bit. Choosing not to make a choice plus time is by default in that time to make the wrong choice. So not choosing to choose in enough time, now that time is subjective, I get that, I can go with that, but it's to make the wrong choice. Now if you really get that point, you would probably pass some colleges on the issue of ethics. Now, let me say for illustration's sake, say a young man really believed it was God's will for him to marry a particular girl. Now, I kind of like that already. But he wouldn't ask her to marry him. And if he had the guts to ask her, to ask her to marry him, she would have married him. I know, she told me so. Now, he did not decide against marrying her, but he didn't make the right choice and actually get the words out, would you marry me? Some time passed and she grew more interested in another man. And he asked her and she said yes. Now a question. Did the first man believe it was God's will for him to marry this particular woman? Yes, he did. Did he decide not to marry her? No, he didn't decide not to marry her. He wanted to marry her, but he just let time drag on and time drag on and time drag on. And sand started working under his feet and grass started growing under his feet and time went on. And he ended up making the wrong choice simply by time. This young lady thought, well, that much time, he must not love me. And so she found love in another. And by putting off the right choice, plus time, he made the wrong choice. And he ended up in life roasting marshmallows all by himself on Friday nights when he could have had a beautiful wife to roast marshmallows with. There's the point. There's the point. For your information, this happened right here in our church years ago. Right here in our church. She would have said yes. But he drug his feet and drug his feet and drug his feet. And he's a single man and yet to this day. That's right. He made the wrong choice. He made the wrong choice. So choosing not to make a choice plus time by default is making the wrong choice. You might think, oh, I'm not going to choose. I'm just not going to make a choice. Well, that's a mistake. With enough time, you just made the wrong choice. Now, by the way, this is called a sin of omission, and it's dealt with in James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. How about that? Right there in the book of God. Now, David, the shepherd boy, knew about indecision. And he knew that delay is dangerous. And it certainly can be dangerous in the right choices in keeping his daddy's sheep. When the bears come out and he's going to kill them or kill you, it's no time for a prayer meeting. You better already be prayed up and be ready with your sling. Today, that would be with your shotgun or your rifle. All right, and you better use it a little bit to be proficient with it. If you're going to do any good with it, it doesn't work too good as a club, I'll tell you that. So when a bear one day came up and going to take one of the sheep away, he made the right decision. What did he do? He killed the thing. What do you think? He killed the thing. So it disturbed David to see the whole army not doing anything against the enemy of God. And when in life we happen upon a group of people who have a cause and who are not doing anything in that cause, it should disturb us. It should disturb us. And as a pastor, I tell you, I get a little irritated when I see a Christian not engaged in the battle. I do. Why? Because I'm saying, okay, you're still alive. You can't do everything, but you can do something. And what you could do, you should be doing by the grace of God. You ought to be at least demonstrating whose side you're on. It's like the deaf man. He kept going to church and he didn't understand anything that was going on. So a neighbor spoke sign language. He said, why do you keep going to that Baptist church? Why do you keep going to that Baptist church? You can't understand anything doing. He signed back and he said, because I want everybody to know whose side I'm on. I want everybody to know whose side I'm on. If nothing else, you just throw your 2 cents in because you want everybody to know whose side you're on. I'm on God's side. I'm on God's side. You say, preacher, I'm not against the Lord or the church. I'm just taking time off. Well, how many years are you going to take off? How many years? You going to wait till your children are grown before you get engaged? That's going to be too late for them, probably your grandkids too. I can just imagine Lord Jesus Christ walking to each church in Texas and saying to many who are sitting there, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing for me? Is there not a cause? Go to the next church and say, you know, it must be contagious or something, you know. I just went to this other church and I found there was 30% or 40%, 50% of the people not doing anything for the Lord. And they got the same cause. They were given the same commission. They were given the same scriptures as everybody else. All my other children and 50% of that church doing something. And then he goes to the next church. Man, this must be something in the water in Texas because I found 60% in this church not doing anything for the Lord. Not doing anything. Is there not a cause? Are there not souls who are lost? Are there not souls who are lonely? Are there not souls who need help and need guidance in their families? Are there not souls and moms and daddies who are struggling with raising the kids and don't know what to do? Of course there are. Would you admit? Of course there are. I mean, we happened upon a it just the other day. It wasn't a he. It wasn't a she. It was an it. And on one end, it looked like one. On the other end, it looked like another. Now, I'm telling you, that's mass confusion. And we were talking just that right after that about what's going to happen to you parents of little ones. You walk into a situation like that. How in the world are you going to explain that? On the top end, there's a beard, and I'm not going to go below. The confusion that must come into the hearts of good parents. What do you say about this freak? What do you say about this abnormality, if you want to be more kind? What do you say about this pervert, to be more honest? What do you say about that? Well, you know, and he said, well, just a moment, I'll be right with you. And I said, you're not going to be with me. You say, well, that, listen, I told my wife, and I was really bothered thinking about parents and how they're going to have to deal with that. And I told Dory, I said, I just don't think if I stayed in that restaurant, I just don't see how I could not rebuke that guy. You might think this is cute, but this is an abomination unto God. It's abomination. It just, you know what that means in Hebrew? A whole lot. Here we are. We're living in a great land. We saw some great country. Even all the way across South Illinois, there's some beautiful country there. And I'm sorry the liberals have got it all messed up there. But there's some beautiful country up there. I mean, just wide open, fertile land. Opportunity. Listen, opportunities abound in our country and still do. Still do. We live in a great land. A land which still overall values freedom. And I'm for that. Liberty. Liberty, yes. Liberty. By the way, I understand she really missed me while I was gone. Hard work and a great spirit, it's a good land. We have many resources. We have more resources than this nation than a lot of nations put together. Just resources upon resources. And I believe every adult here, you know, we have opportunities for work and a great life and to execute ministry and to do all the things of the Lord. But the world that we live in really is ravished by fear. They're ravished by loneliness. They're ravished by hopelessness. And they're just desperate people. And they're looking for something more. Now, they don't know what that something more is. But we do. We know what that something more is, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But they don't know what they're looking for. So they're poking holes everywhere and painting up everywhere. Come on. Looking absolutely like an inmate. But they're looking for something, but they don't know what they're looking for. And we have those answers. And we should be giving those answers. Everywhere you look today, people are living in fear. People are afraid. They're afraid. Some people didn't go to work after COVID even because they're afraid. I was reading an article about these people up there in New York about the subway. They're afraid to get on that train. They really are afraid to get on that train. And you say, well, you know, the National Guard's there. Well, the National Guard's in the car up yonder, not in mine. And so they don't want to get back. They're afraid. They're living in fear. Parents are living in fear about their children, what they're going to be exposed to at the school today, whether or not a boy's going to come into the little girl's bathroom. They're living in fear. I'm telling you, fear is rampant in our country. If I could be so bold as to say, what are we doing about it? What are we, the people of God, doing about it in our nation? Is there not a cause? Somebody says, well, I just don't want to be engaged. Somebody said, please you may forgive me this, but you know, this whole thing about trying to take all of President Donald Trump's property there and New York and all these other business people, and they're afraid. They don't want to say anything because they don't want that person coming after them. Well, listen, I think, who's that? England, short, pudgy guy, likes cigars. Churchill. All right, Churchill, he said, you know, let me get it right. You feed a crocodile hoping that he'll eat you last. Finish it up for me. You remember the quote? Okay. Basically, if you just let everybody just the crocodile, feed the crocodile, that crocodile's going to get hungry. In other words, he's not the first one. He may be the first one they go after to try to destroy. And they are. Without question, they're trying to destroy him. Right or wrong, I'm just telling you, I think it's absolutely wrong. But they're trying to destroy the man. Destroy him. It's wrong in this country. That's wrong. But tell you what, if they get away with it, he won't be the last one. There will be others who will go down. And they don't want to say anything right now because they don't want to be on the radar. I tell you what, you better learn how to speak up. Speak up. I think, listen, these little mothers that go in there with their little tennis shoes on, you know, at these school board meetings and stomping their little foot, I thank God for them. And somebody's got to speak up. This man, bless God, I'm glad that governor pardoned that man. I'd be a little upset too. Somebody did that. My little girl, she's just trying to go to the little girl's room. I'd be pretty upset about it. And I'd want to get my say sooner or later. Amen. But a lot of people are just scared to death. Is there not a cause? We have a great opportunity of ministry. You've often heard it said, the darker the night, the brighter the light. Great opportunity to shine the light and shine it clear. Our soldiers have a great technological advantage over most in this world. But you can't do much even with advantages if you're afraid. The guy that will stick his head in the sand down at the lowest end of the foxhole and never raise up, he's never going to fire a shot at the enemy. He's never going to fire a shot. I like watching, you know, the Gods and Generals and some of those old things. And that old Union man was telling his commander, he said, listen, you got to help these guys know, because they'll just keep loading up their muzzle loaders and never fire a shot. They're just scared. They'll never fire a shot. You got to fire. You load it up one time, you got to fire one time. Next thing you know, you got a choked up gun. It's not good for anything but clubbing yourself with it. Romans 8:15 to 16, the Bible says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Miss Debbie's mama, God bless her heart and her memory, she would quote that. You call her up on the telephone. Where is she? Well, Curly, where are you? Oh, there she is. Wave at me back there, you know. Her mama, bless her heart, right? She'd quote this scripture, you know. And she was a Bible quoting thing. I tell you, she was. Even when she was in a stupor in the hospital bed, she's still quoting the Bible, you know, quoting Bible. Just on and on she'd go. And I had just bought some new fancy store bought glasses, the prescription kind. You know, and I went to see her. She's laid up there at the hospital and kind of half in, half out of her mind, you know, a little bit. And I asked her, I said, well, what do you think about my new glasses? Remember, her sister, Deborah's sister, sitting there in the hospital with her mama. I said, what do you think about my new glasses? She opened her eyes. She'd had her eyes closed the whole time. But she's just quoting and talking, quoting and talking. And I just want to see, you know, she's paying half attention to me. I said, what do you think about my new glasses? She opened her eyes and looked right at me, closed her eyes. She said, they're sexy. I said, man, I like her. They're sexy. Someone said we have nothing to fear but fear itself. George MacDonald said a perfect faith would lift us absolutely above fear. Isaiah 41:40, fear thou not, for I am with thee. It depends on who's with you if you're not scared. Right? It depends. If my daddy was with me, I could be out in the middle of the woods. I mean dark. I mean so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. My daddy was with me, everything's fine. I mean, way back in the woods. So far, even the booger man don't want to go back there. Way back in the woods. But as long as my daddy was there, my daddy was tough. My daddy could take care of anybody. At least that's what I thought. And everything was fine. Well, what about my daddy? What about my father? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Man, that's good. John, old granddaddy John, this little girl, she walked in. She said, oh, you're dressed up. Did you come from church? I said, sure did. That's where I bought that hoodie. I went back on Sunday afternoon. And she was working. She'd gone to church that morning. And she said, I know where I'm going. She said, I know where I'm going, talking about church stuff, you know. And I said, oh, that's good. You know, there's a whole book of God written in the New Testament that we might know that we have eternal life. Did you know that? And she said, oh, you're going to make me cry. And I said, it sounds like a granddaddy, just that, doesn't it? Sounds like a granddaddy. You know, my little children. He says, my little children, sin not. Sound like a granddaddy, good loving granddaddy. Well, he's a fireball preacher. His name was Apostle John. He said, but if you sin, we have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Isn't that good? She said, oh, you're going to make me cry. And she started crying a little bit, you know, and I bought the hoodie and we went on down the road. Good stuff. Now, oh, and I didn't give you the verse 18 to chapter 4, 1 John. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. I'll never forget that same guy that wouldn't pull the trigger and get married that I was talking about before. I was out witnessing with him one day. We went to go see a girl. She had visited the church. She had a bad reputation in that department complex. Okay, I'll just leave it right there. She had a bad reputation, but she got saved, and I wanted to follow up, and we wanted to see her baptized and all that kind of stuff. And so we walked up there, and right in the middle of that bunch of bikers all hanging out at the second level, and we have to walk right through them, you know, to get to this is a young woman's house, and they had some, you know, some snide remarks about what they thought we were going there for. You understand? And so I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to them, but I could tell he was quite nervous having to walk through all those rough characters, you know. So we went on back in the house, back in there, and had a good visit and talked with her, and we come back out, and boy, they had some more snide things to say. We walked right through the middle of them, and they had ramped it up just a little bit, you know. Hoping to get under our skin, I told him, I said, come on, we're going to go back there and talk to those guys. He said, you got to be kidding me. I ain't going back there. And I said, listen, I was raised around these kind of guys with my big brother. I can handle it. Don't worry about it. They're good. All right? And he said, oh, man, this is bad. This is bad, bad. What's he doing? He's scared. He's scared of this woman. Now he's scared of these guys. Well, if she bites you, she won't bite you that hard. If they bite, they're probably not going to kill you. So I told them who I was, and boy, I started witnessing to them. So, oh, if I went to church, you know, everybody says the roof will fall down. They all go for the roof. If I go to your church, the roof will fall. I said, I'll tell you what, I dare you to come to my church. I'll let you sit on the platform with me, and we'll just see if the roof falls down. How about that? And I witnessed to them, and I just laid it all right out there. I'm not here to do what you think I'm here to do. That girl put Jesus Christ first in her life, and she got saved the other day, and you ought to do the same thing. And he was back over here. He's back over there, you know. He wouldn't even come up there and join me, Brother Greg. I mean, just coward. Scaredy cat. Let me tell you, if you love those guys enough, you won't care. You go right into them. But if you don't love them, you'll be scared. They're rough around the edges. Well, most sinners are in some way. I mean, they may not look quite like that, but they are rough still around the edge. Right? But if you love them enough, you cross the fence and go after them. Now, I'm over time. What was the cause of David? What was the cause of Israel? Well, the cause was to go to battle with the Philistines. Wrong. The cause was to glorify God and do everything that God had commanded in His Word. Now, they have to defend their nation, and yes, they had to do that to be honorable and do the things that are found in God's Word, and yes, they did that, but not so good. And David comes and he says, is there not a cause? And finally, they decide to get their foot wet. What's our cause? I'm here to tell you, it's the same cause. The cause for David, the cause for Israel, is the same cause we have today. Glorify God. Glorify God in your life. Glorify God in your life. Glorify God in your... Well, how do I do that? You do that through your involvement, your engagement, your commitment to the Lord's work through a New Testament church. That's what you do. And we use our jobs and all of those things to help facilitate the greatest priority of our lives, which is a spiritual priority. It's a spiritual priority. Listen, if you're a Christian, you're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not putting your priority in the service of Almighty God, knowing that only one life so soon will pass, only what's done for Christ, listen, you're a fool, man, you're a fool. Because when you go to heaven, then who shall these things be? It's all gone. You've always heard, never seen a hearse, a U-Haul behind a hearse making its way up to heaven. All that stuff's going to stay down here. Only what's invested for the glory of God's going to go with us. That's it. You better be careful how you invest and what you fear and what you love. What is your cause? I am asking you to open your eyes to the greatest cause on earth. That's the cause of Christ. And what are we to do? What are we to do? We just traveled well over 2,000 miles to go let God's children know in a faraway land. Get to the cause. Get to the cause. And I ask you today, how do you compare to this little old lady up there in that little scooter? How do you compare to that? You say, well, I can't do everything. Well, neither can she. She can't walk, but she can talk. She can't do everything, but she can do something. You say, well, I'm not going to do anything. Okay, when you get to heaven, you tell God that. I didn't do anything for you. Why not? Why not? You were still alive, weren't you? Well, I was crippled up, can't move around much. Yeah, well, you can't walk, but you can talk. You can be like that lady. She's calling everybody on the telephone. She knew everybody. She's calling them up. Matter of fact, Harvey was the other fellow's name, and we went to see him actually second. I reversed the order, but we actually went to see him second. She said, I'm going to call Harvey and tell him he's coming. He's going to be so excited to see you in the guest preacher. He's really going to be liking that. I mean, she's a worker in the army of God. I'm asking you, what's your part in the cause? What's your part in the cause? And I told him, you know, how years ago I'd be a little timid when you say, you know, are you talking to me? And I know I'm not talking to you. Well, I've kind of got old and grumpy since then. Go ahead and say amen. It's all right. And somebody says, you talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm asking you. Is there not a cause? What are you doing for the Lord? Now, if you're looking for a church, find you a church, find you a good Bible-believing church and get engaged and get on with it. Get on with it. And if you're new to the church, find you a spot, man. Find you a spot. Find you a niche. Find you a place where you're gifted especially. And get on with it. What are you waiting on? Well, I'm afraid. Well, then you're going to make the decision by default with enough time, and it's going to be the wrong decision. Well, I'm just trying to recover. I'm just trying to recover from all the hurt that I've gone through in my life and other ministries and other churches. Well, how many years are you going to be licking your wounds? How many years? I just kind of be interested. Well, I can just write it down on my calendar and know that in 2035, you're going to re-engage. Well, I just have something to look forward to. Because I'm wondering, how long, Lord, how long, how long? And yeah, I'm talking to you. How long? Is there not a cause? Is there indeed? You tell me, is there not a cause? Amanda, bless your heart. She's right here. Nod her head. Yes, you know there's a cause. And it's the cause of Christ. What are you doing about it? I mean, really, tangibly, what are you doing about it? Measurably, you engineers, what are you doing about it? Say, well, I come to church. That's for babies. Babies come to church. Baby Christians. I'm asking you, what are you doing about it as a grown man, as a grown woman? What are you doing? How are you serving your God? How are you glorifying your God? What are you going to point to your children and grandchildren? Well, this is what I did for the glory of God.
What are you going to do?
Well, I was a faithful church member. Well, maybe they'll say that at your funeral. But I bet you they won't be talking about the ministries and all the things, different things that you contributed to and all the things that you did. Hello? Let's stand.